Well, beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, our text for this morning says something so great and so amazing about the Lord. Let me just remind you again of the words of our text from Psalm 145, verse 18, where it says, "The Lord will be near, the Lord will be near to all who call upon Him, to all who call upon Him in truth." The Lord will be near. Now, we maybe have to exercise our minds a little bit on this point here early on Sunday morning. Maybe if you're thinking carefully, you're saying to yourself, isn't the Lord always near? Isn't He everywhere? That's what we have been taught. We confess in the omnipresent God, the God who is everywhere present. And that's true. There is nowhere that He is not. High up in heaven, here on earth, everywhere in the world, throughout the entire cosmos, there is nowhere that He is not. And yet, what does it mean then when it says the Lord is near? Near to those who call upon Him, to those who call upon Him in truth. What it means is that the Lord is present in a special way. He is present in His love and grace. He is present in His peace and kindness and compassion. He's everywhere present, true. But when people call upon Him in truth, He is present. He is near in a very particular way. Maybe in an effort to try and help this crystallize, let me illustrate it like this. Imagine, especially young people and kids even, imagine being in the same Boston Pizza as someone like Austin Matthews or these fellows from Dude Perfect. Imagine that you show up there and you find out, hey, they're here too. And that'd be quite something. I'm sure you'd try and get an autograph or two and a picture taken. And if that were to happen, then you could say that you're both there in that place. But imagine if it went one step further and let's say Austin Matthews came to sit at your table, or the fellows from Dude Perfect came and sat with you and your family. Then you could say, they're not just here, they're near. And see, that's something of the dynamic that we're talking about now. The Lord is everywhere. But when we call upon Him in truth, He is sitting, as it were, at our table and saying to us, as it were, tell me, He now says, tell me your sorrows or your problems. Let's talk. Let's have a conversation. He doesn't just seek to be here, He seeks to be near. That's what the text is telling us. The Lord is near to all who call upon Him, to all who call upon Him in truth. Question, do we live that? Do we experience that? Do we rejoice in that? We might not always sense it, but it's not based on whether or not we can sense it. Certainly we can't see the Lord. And we may struggle sometimes to be aware of it, but the text is saying this is what is true. The Lord is near. The Lord draws very near to those who call upon Him. And so this morning, with the help of God, we want to think about this great and exalted theme. Living with the Lord near. Living with the Lord near. And that's because of the text, obviously, and also the teaching of our catechism with regard to prayer. Lord's Day 45 is an introduction to prayer, and we'll come to a line-by-line study of the Lord's Prayer. But in this introduction for this morning, we focus mainly on the connection between prayer and the presence of the Lord, prayer and the blessing of God. So with our text before us and the teaching of the catechism, let's think now about this, living with the Lord near, living with the Lord near. And notice, first of all, the way He draws near. The way He draws near or comes near. The text says the Lord is near. And when we read from James, he further explains that when he says God will draw near. So the question is, how does He do that? And one thing that's clear from the text is that it is when we pray. Again, if we listen to Psalm 145, the Lord is near to all. By the way, notice that all. You don't have to be someone important. You don't have to be someone impressive or not. And thankfully, the Lord is not making That kind of a qualification here, he's saying that the Lord is near to all who call upon him. So it's by way of prayer, or to say it in the language of James, when we draw near to God, God draws near to us. So by way of prayer, the living God is not just here, but near. Now maybe someone says, well, what exactly is prayer? What exactly is prayer? And the answer to that is prayer is calling upon God. Prayer is talking with God. Prayer is crying out to God. Prayer is the breathing out of our soul to God. When we tell him what's on our heart and what's in our life, when we lay ourselves open before the Lord and we let him know what is within us. And many times prayer involves words. Of course, we communicate by way of speaking, but prayer, true prayer, doesn't just involve words, but prayer is about a spirit. It is about an openness. It is about an awareness of living before God. And what's important to remember is that God himself has ordained prayer and has commanded prayer. The initiative for prayer does not come from you or me. The initiative for prayer does not come from us. It comes from God. Psalm 50, call upon me, the Lord says. Call upon me in the day of trouble. Or James 5:13, is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Elsewhere, the Apostle Paul teaches us to continue steadfastly in prayer. And even he says, pray without ceasing. And so the Lord is giving direction to his creatures. He wants to hear from his people. And especially in times of trouble, some of the texts just quoted refer to that. Trouble and suffering. But not just then, but always. That's why continue steadfastly in prayer. That's why pray without ceasing. It's why God made man in the first place, and even more why he saves sinners, because he wants to enjoy a restored relationship with his own. He wants to be not just here, but near. And what we're learning then this morning is that when we pray, the Lord becomes near. He doesn't stay away. He doesn't remain indifferent. He's not unmoved or uninterested or unresponsive. Just treasure that for a moment. How different that is from what we can sometimes be like with each other, isn't it? Isn't it so that we've all had the unpleasant experience of trying to talk to someone who just won't give us the time of day? Sometimes in family life even, whether in marriage or with kids or between siblings or with friends. You know, you've got something to say, and maybe it's about your day, or it's you need some help, or you just want to talk. And so you start, but the person you're talking to, just they won't look away from their phone, or they won't pull their earbuds out of their ears, or they can't drag themselves out of their book, or whatever it might be. They don't hear you. Not really. We've all experienced that, and we've all been guilty of that too. God is not like that. He doesn't stay away. He doesn't stay at a distance, not listening, not involved, not caring. He's not like that. When we pray, he's near. When we draw near to him, he draws near to us. Isn't that amazing to think about? Do we believe what the Bible teaches? He draws near. He comes to our table. He says, lay your heart open to me. He's the everlasting King. He's the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He's the unchanging, ever faithful God. He's beautiful and glorious in every respect. How can we ever have his ear? And not simply once, not just for a few moments at a Boston Pizza, say, but all the time. Our theme is living with the Lord near. Living. As we sometimes sing from Psalm 73, in sweet communion, Lord, with thee, I constantly abide. Constantly. And so it's by way of prayer, praying to God, that God himself is near. In fact, we can say it even stronger. If there is no prayer, God is not near. He may be here, but he's not near. Prayer is not simply a way that he is near. Prayer is the way that he is near. If we don't pray, that signals no personal spiritual connection to God. And then God isn't near. It's not possible. He doesn't draw near till we draw near. When we draw near, he draws near. But now let's further describe this drawing near, because our text makes another point about that, doesn't it? The Lord is near to all who call upon him. Yes, to all who call upon him in truth. So you should notice that, in truth. That's a clarification or a qualification. In other words, it's possible to call upon the Lord, but not in truth. And if that's so, and when that's so, then God's not near. It's possible to pray or to think you are praying, but God's not coming. And how relevant this is, because today we live in a world where plenty of people pray, but the reality is God is not near. Whether they are sensitive to that or not, he's not near. He stays away. It's not just any praying that will do. He is near to those who call upon him in truth. So what does that mean, in truth? Well, it's at this point that our catechism is so helpful to us, because especially in answer 117, it talks about what God requires for true prayer, acceptable prayer. And several things, important things can be mentioned. One is that we pray to the true God alone. Now, that may seem obvious, but again, think of how our world is full of prayer to idol gods, false gods, gods that aren't gods. And it's not blessed prayer and doesn't bring the true God near. Draw near to God, James says. The Lord we're to call upon in truth. So prayer to be true must have him in view, must be towards him. Even as we know so little about him, even as he still remains in many regards in a mist, we see through a mirror dimly. Nevertheless, the one true God as revealed in his word must be to whom we pray. Something else is that true prayer must be according to God's word and will. The Catechism talks about praying for what the Lord has commanded us to ask him for. So we may not pray for just whatever comes to our mind. Whatever comes to our mind can often be sinful. We have sinful desires. We have selfish desires. We want things just for us. We want things that are wrong. And so when we pray, we need to pray in line with Scripture. That's why the Lord's Prayer is such a gift, because, and we'll study it again, Lord willing, over the next number of weeks, but it's God's way, it's Christ's way of teaching us how to pray and what to pray for. So to the true God and in line with Scripture, and also prayer needs to come from a humble heart. We need to acknowledge how small we are before the Lord, and how undeserving too, as sinners. And we need to own that in a personal way. We need to confess our need, our misery, our sin, what has made us liable to be forsaken, for God not to be near. So while the Lord encourages us to come boldly and confidently, that may never be at the expense of humility or reverence or awe. And never let us think that we can live in sin and still call on God. That's never right. Now, we may be in the depths of misery because of our sin, and we may think we can never get free of our sin. We may struggle under the burden and power of sin. And if so, and we pray, God will hear. The point isn't that we need to be perfect, and only then, because that's not possible. But if we live in sin and think we can pray, that's not right. That's not humility. That's audacity. If in my heart I sin regard, my prayer he will not hear. Elsewhere the Lord says he is near to those who have a broken heart, who have a contrite spirit. So we need to come in that way of humble confession. Lord, in me is no good thing. Left to myself I go my own way. Please rescue me from me. That's the right spirit. And then one more thing in terms of what's required. Praying in truth is praying in faith. Praying in faith, which means that we pray believing that God is and that he's good and kind and true. So we shouldn't guess when we pray. You know, is there a God? Will he hear my prayer? Can I be sure that he will draw near? We shouldn't guess. We shouldn't wonder. We shouldn't doubt. We shouldn't say, what's the use? Why bother? He'll never listen to me. That's not the right way to draw near to God. And again, let's not misunderstand. We may struggle with doubts. We may wrestle to believe. That's one thing, and that's common. And God won't turn us away for that or walk away for that. But if we're scoffing at the possibility that God exists or that God hears or that God is able or willing, if we're somehow scoffing and meanwhile we participate in some kind of prayer personally or with others, God won't hear that. God won't sit at that table. God will not draw near to that. We must pray in faith. He who comes to God, Hebrews 11, must believe that he is and that he is the rewarder of those who seek him. So it may be weak faith, it may be faltering faith. How often it's so. And yet, if it's faith, think of Peter. Lord, to whom else can we go? You have the words of eternal life. And so believing God is the way to pray in truth. The true God, according to his word, in humility, reverence, and awe, and in faith. And when we pray in this way, with whatever weakness attends us, God is listening, and God is present, and God is near. And again, we come to the question, and it was raised already in the introduction, do we know what this is like? Do we know what this is like? Do we engage in prayer like this to God? And can we tell about God, the Lord, drawing near, even as we aim to draw near to him? I wonder this morning if some of you sitting here need to say that you've never really prayed before. I mean, never talked to God the way it's just been described in this sermon. To God, according to his word, in humility and in faith. And if you have to say, you know, I've never really prayed like that, understand that you're not saved yet. How can you be saved by God if you don't know what it's like to call on God? And so if that's you this morning, then understand that by way of our text, the Lord is telling you this so as to draw you, to draw you to himself, and to encourage you to begin to pray to him, to call upon him. Maybe you say, how do I do that? How do I pray? Well, there are all kinds of ways to answer that question, but what about the words we sang just a few moments ago? Lord, my petition heed. Now help me in my need. My Savior be. I am your servant, Lord. My trust is in your word. Mercy to me afford. I cry to thee. That's a good prayer. Just make it your own. Just take it to God. And once you start, and how many of us confess to that by the grace of God, we have begun to pray. We struggle to pray. It's often labor. But nevertheless, we seek to pray, then keep on with that. Daily draw near to God. And with everything, with all our need, cry out to him and in truth. And when that's you, and when that's me, then let this point encourage us so much, because God hears us. And he himself will draw near to us. He says so. But saying that, we should clarify, because maybe you have some doubts about that. So we go to our second point, the reason he will be near, the reason. And it's important to be clear about this, because if we are confused, it will hinder our prayer life and it will negatively affect our relationship to God. Why should he draw near to us when we draw near to him? Why? Is it because we draw near to him so well? Maybe we can think this sometimes. We hear someone pray, And we say, they're so eloquent. They're so expressive and persuasive. Of course, God hears them and draws near to them. Have you ever thought that? Or maybe more in comparison to yourself. You hear someone pray and you say, I can't pray like that. I can't pray like my dad or my mom or my teacher or my elder. You know, you might say, I can't pray like Pastor Joel. You know, I say sometimes, I can't pray like Pastor Vandermeiden. I mean, we have this. We hear others pray and we say, I can't think fast enough, or I can't think deep enough, or I can't get past the cliches of my childhood. I'm so weak in prayer. Actually, the longer we pray, the more every true believer comes to experience that. No matter what others think, Lord, I need help to pray. And so into that may come this thought, if I can't pray well, maybe God won't come near to me. But you know, that can never be. That can never be, because God does not draw near to us on the basis of how well we pray, how expressive we are, how eloquent we are, how thoughtful and reflective and persuasive we are. No, that's not the basis on which God draws near. Nor is it on the basis of how well we are doing spiritually or how we are living in terms of our obedience. As if, as can happen, we're struggling and stumbling and the Lord sees that and the Lord says, you know, just forget coming near today. I'm not coming to hear you. At some level, do we not sometimes think this how it goes? And doesn't the devil come into that too and say at times, you know, forget about prayer. Just look at how you've been living. Look how you've failed so many times. You've not been patient or kind or nice or upright. God will never hear you today. Forget it. Forget him. Forget prayer. The devil pushes that narrative hard. But he's wrong. And we are wrong if we fall for that kind of thinking. Because the reason the Lord will hear and draw near is not that we can say it all right, or that we've got our lives together, and that we basically never sin, and so he's impressed, and that's why he's near. No, that's not so. The sole reason why the Lord draws near, even when we do in all our weakness and shortcoming and prayer and brokenness come to him, the sole reason is, you know, what the Savior has done. What the Savior has suffered. Because the Savior has taken our sin and shame and been forsaken. And God the Father drew back from his Son. That's what happened on the cross. Up till then, up till the cross, the Son of God all his life and since forever has enjoyed the presence of the Father. The blessing and the presence, the closeness of the Father. God was so near to his Son so near to God. And it was sweet, it was good, it was perfect. And even when the Son became incarnate and the Lord Jesus Christ was born and began to walk in this world, the Father was always with him. That's what Jesus himself said. The Father is always with me. He always hears me. Until one day, that solemn Good Friday, it was different. And the Father withdrew and the Father turned away. And the Father forsook his own dear Son. And again, that was because according to the divine plan from all eternity, the Son as incarnate Savior was bearing the judgment that we deserve. And he was suffering the wrath of God. All the reasons in ourselves that should compel God to go far away from us, never to be in the same universe as us. The Son was bearing that judgment, and because he did it, and he did it alone, utterly alone, and because he succeeded at it, even being able to say, it is finished. And then that veil in the temple was torn in two. God did that. And then on the third day, raised his Son. What it means is that through Jesus, God the Father has made a way for sinners like you and me to draw near to him, and correspondingly for him to draw near to us. It's for the sake of Christ. It is always for the sake of Christ. as he was sent by the Father, as he suffered without the Father, no God near. That's now why when we call upon the Lord in truth, God comes near. Do we understand this, congregation? Do we understand this? Do we believe this? Do we reflect this? You know, when you get it, it should make you, it might not necessarily make you more eloquent, more expressive. It might not help you overcome altogether the challenges that you find in prayer, but it should help you with fervency. If for Christ's sake, the Father will hear me in all my stumbling, bumbling efforts to call upon him, if he will hear me for Christ's sake, oh Father, here's my heart. Here's my heart. I want to live openly, continually in communion with you. And when we so live, then what happens? Well, notice that in our last point, the blessings of him near. The blessings. He talked about the way through prayer and the reason for Christ's sake. Why is it so good to have God near? Well, the answer should be obvious, shouldn't it? We're talking about God. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, King of kings, Lord of lords, Creator, Keeper, and Savior, Master, Friend, and more. It's not simply your family that's near or your friends that are near or some influential, powerful, impressive person in this world that comes near. It's no mere man that's near. It's the living God in all of his vastness and richness and goodness. He comes near. And whether we see him or sense him again, we can see him and even the sense can be up and down, but he is near and he hears. He hears what we're saying or struggling to say. And so often we can't get it out right. We mess it up. So often we don't even know what we should pray for. And yet he hears and he understands perfectly. And he comes near, you know why, to help us. And in all sorts of ways. Think of how he helps in the first place through providing forgiveness of sins. We come and we say, Lord, I've really messed up again. Same old story as yesterday, as last week, as last month. Messed up again. I hate it. I can't beat it. Will you please help me? Forgive me. And every time he says, I forgive you. That's amazing, isn't it? He draws near to help us, to save us. And what about also to supply our daily needs? Bread to eat, water to drink, clothes to wear, home to live in, family and friends to make the way more pleasant. It's good when we can see how God in his nearness is blessing us in that way. Also leading us and guiding us, keeping us. How often things happen in our life and, you know, if it weren't for God keeping us, we'd have long perished. Can be calamity in this world. Can be spiritual threats and temptations. No doubt God keeps us in far more ways than we even know. But that's what he does when he draws near. And also to guide us when we have to make decisions. We have to choose between one way or that way. Or one person and another person. Or one calling and another calling. And how many times we need wisdom from on high. And we draw near to God and we say, I don't know the way to go. Show me. And he shows us. Or what about when we go through dark valleys? As happens to every believer. How will the Lord be near to help us then? Will it not be through fortifying us with strength from above, with his promises, with the encouragement of his grace? Will he not lift up our hearts with his presence and power? How often he has done that in the past. Think of Paul writing, for example, in 2 Timothy about a particular trial and how he was all alone. No one stood with him. No one. But then he said, but the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. And how many believers can tell about that too? You've passed through deep, dark valleys. And maybe no one could stand with you or would stand with you, but God was with you, came near to bless you. And so also he comes near to sanctify, to teach us how to live, so that more and more we may die to ourselves It is as we wrestle with God in prayer that he says, look, this isn't right in your life. That has to change in your life. You need to die to your sin in your life. And you need to live a new way. God teaches that in the context of communion. And what about also when he's near to show us his beauty and his grace, so that we're increasingly caught up with him and captivated by him and by his kindness and goodness and holiness and justice and mercy and by his mind and heart and by his faithfulness. Surely this too is the blessing of him near when he reveals himself to us and we learn to behold our God. Oh, what a life we may live with the Lord near. What a life we may live. And on the one hand, it's a responsibility, it's a duty, it's a calling that we're given, especially as God's people. In fact, as the Catechism makes clear, prayer is the chief part of thankfulness by which we give praise to God. It's especially how we say, thank you for your mercy. So it's a duty and calling, but in view of our text, can we not say also it's a great delight and privilege? That's how to see it. We have to, we ought to, we get to live in the spirit of prayer with the Lord near, the Lord drawing near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. How great that is. To make our way through life with God near. The world knows nothing of it. For the world, he's here but not near. For God's people, he's here and near. And that's how we may go through all of our days, no matter what happens. And then when we come to the end of our days, what does God do? He says, it's not enough to be here and near, but let's take the veil away and let's meet together face to face. That's coming. Won't that be something? Until then, let's live this way, ever and always, calling on the Lord. Amen. Let us pray. How great it is, O living God, that we may call upon you. Help us to understand more what we are doing when we pray, when we say, let us pray, when we say around the family dinner table, time to pray. Maybe at the end of the day before we go to sleep and we pause to pray. We may live with you near. Lord, we confess that we too little give attention to this. We too little appreciate this. We confess too that we struggle to work this out in our life. But will you help us by way of this word and by way of this new study again on prayer? Like the disciples said so long ago, will you teach us to pray? May we always do so in truth, calling upon you according to your word in humility and reverence and in the spirit of faith. And will you hear us because of that time in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, when you did not hear him, when he was forsaken, so we might never be. Lord God, if there is those among us who have never begun truly to pray, will you lead them to pray today? Burden them with the awareness that if you are here but not near, they are in trouble. And someday, if they die that way, endless trouble. And may they hear your word in a way that they turn to you. And may we who have learned to pray, grow in prayer and be encouraged to continue steadfastly in prayer, to live with you near all the days of our life until you will call us to yourself and we will see your face and we will rejoice in your presence forever. Oh, bless the word and help us. Also, as we go from here, whether to Sunday school or fellowship or rest, we commend it all to you. And we ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen. Well, let us close with singing the words of Psalm 145 from Psalter 396. 396, stanza 1, 3, 4, and 6. And then for our doxology, we'll turn to 204, stanza 4. Receive now the blessing of the Lord, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.